Well, good morning, church. It's a blessing to see you today on this first Sunday of spring break, but also the first Sunday following Easter. And we had a glorious day of worship, and I pray that you've had a good week. And we're going to continue on in an Easter theme this morning. And in fact, the title of the sermon is "The Difference a Day Makes." Now, a few years ago, there was a song that was written, and it was called "What a Difference a Day Makes, 24 Little Hours." I see some nods, so at least a few of you know the song I'm talking about. And it talked about how some situations in the lyric of the song went from maybe not so good to really outstanding. And we're going to see the difference a day makes in the life of the disciples. But I would say there are days in our lives that we look back and we say, what a difference that day made in our lives. For all of us here today, I pray that you would say, wow, what a difference my wedding day made. And that was an awesome day that the Lord brought somebody into my life, and my life is so much richer and fuller. We would also say, what a difference a day made when I decided to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, the day of my salvation. What a difference that day has made and continues to make. You probably have loved ones, family, children, and their birthdays would be great and memorable days for you. In the life of our country, there are numerous special days, some that we remember for positive things and maybe some that we remember that are not so great. But yet we've tried to take steps toward whatever it might be to improve conditions or situations. But we're going to look today at the greatest day in history. We sing a song, "Oh Happy Day," and the lyric of that song is, "The greatest day in history." And that is true. As believers, that is true. The greatest day in history for us today is Easter. A.D. 30, in that time period when Jesus was risen, when he was risen by God from the grave on that first Easter. And that's what we're going to look at today. But we're also going to look at, we're going to compare and contrast the lives of the disciples before and during the resurrection and some days afterwards to see the difference that a day made in their lives and really the difference that Jesus has made in their lives. So we're going to look at John chapter 20. That'll be the first place we look, and we'll probably go back to that maybe once or twice more this morning. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, and we'll also, and spend most of our time this morning in Acts chapter 5 as well, and we'll get there in just a moment. But hear this reading from God's Word from John 20. "On that evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" So we see this picture. The disciples, it's Easter evening, and they are scared. They are together. They are literally fearing for their lives. They've experienced within the last 24 to 36 hours the betrayal of Judas, which I'm sure hurt them very deeply. They also experienced the death of Jesus that was somewhat unexpected, even though he shared it was going to happen. And they were disillusioned, they were confused, and they're at this major crisis point of what's next. And we see that Jesus in this locked room, they were expecting a visitor that night, maybe from Rome, but not from Christ. And Jesus came in that locked room in the midst of them and said, "My peace be with you. I am living. I am alive. I am confirming everything that I have taught and shared with you over the last 3 years." So let's fast forward a few weeks and go to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we'll look at verses 33 to 42, 33 to 42. I'll give you a minute to find and catch up. And the context of this is that the apostles are in front of the religious leaders, the temple leaders, and the temple leaders are very upset with them. And this is what God's Word reveals to us in this passage. When they had heard this, the religious leaders, they were enraged and wanted to kill them, them being the apostles. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, he stood up and gave orders to put the men, the apostles, outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. Before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too was killed, and all who followed him were scattered. So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then the apostles left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. And may God bless this reading of His holy word. So if we take a moment, and I think we can do this pretty quickly, we see this stark difference within about 5 to 6 weeks. A stark difference between the apostles, the disciples in this room on Easter evening, and they were scared, they were disillusioned, they were really questioning what to do next. But yet Jesus comes on that Easter evening. He is risen. He comes before them, and he affirms them, and he shares with them, "This is what I want you to do, guys. I want you to go. I want you to go and share the message of salvation and the message of Easter and the message that I am risen with the world." And we see them instantly being obedient to that. They wait until Pentecost, and we're going to look at Pentecost in just a moment. And after Pentecost, after God meets them there on that special time, special place, they begin to go out and share the message that he is risen with the world. And in order to show you that, I want to give you some evidence through Scripture from Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. It won't take that long. I'll try to hit the fast forward button to kind of move us through that. But think about Pentecost for a moment. Looking at Acts chapter 2, especially verses 22 and 23 and following. This great experience has happened where people are together. They're there for a religious festival, and at that point, Peter begins to preach. And this is what he says. He says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." But verse 24 is an awesome Easter passage. "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." So we already see just over in Acts chapter 2 that the message of the cross, the message of salvation, the message of the living Christ being risen from the grave, the message of Easter has transformed these guys into being ones that are very confident, very secure, and very sure that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Lord, and they go from being those that are afraid of religious authorities to those that are willing to be hurt, arrested, tortured, and eventually even martyred for their faith and belief that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But I'll kind of keep reading on to give you further proof. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter says this, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So we see this powerful day at Pentecost where Peter is preaching the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection. A few days later, Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John are going to the temple. They're going to pray. They're going to worship. And on their way to the temple, there was a man they encountered who was lame. He could not walk. He had an impairment, and he was there begging. And Peter and John looked at him through the power of God, and God brought healing to this man. After that situation had happened, Peter began to preach to the crowd that was there because it created quite a stir that people knew this guy and saw that he was healed through the power of these guys, through the message of salvation, and through the Holy Spirit. So Acts 4, verses 1 and 2, we find the religious leaders are angry. And this is their response. "The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." We see that message again. So they bring Peter and John and the apostles before this council. And they want some answers. And first of all, they want to know, well, what power is within you that allowed you to heal this lame person? And this is what Peter responds. He says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." And once again, they were warned, you know, they were beaten, they were warned, they were arrested, and warned not to speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said this, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard." So we see in this picture this opportunity where God has energized the disciples to go out and be evangelists, and their lives have been changed because the difference that Easter makes in their lives and in our lives today. So we fast forward, we go over to Acts chapter 5, and there's a couple of things that happen, like in Acts 5, 1 through 11, that God deals something with internally with the church. And then there's another situation in 12 and 16 where the apostles continue to do these miraculous wonders and signs through the power of God. So they're arrested again, long story short, for the third time. In Acts 5, verses 28 through 29, they're brought before this council again. And this is the charge. It said, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man." And we go on a couple verses later, and he addresses the people there, the council, and he says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right place as Prince and Savior that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." And I know I need to take a deep breath. I've gone really fast through about five chapters of Acts. But I hope that we see that the power of the resurrection, the living Christ, has made this life-changing difference in the life of the disciples and in the commission and proclamation and in the message they have to share with the world. They are ready to go. They are ready to share, and nothing will keep them from being obedient to God's Word in terms of sharing the message of salvation. And what we're going to do now in changing gears is look at Acts chapter 5. And I want to take a look at four steps of application. Four steps of applications that we see in their lives and we can find in our lives today as well as we think about the difference that Easter makes. And when we talk about application, I find that often in my life, I say my right hand is God's Word. And this is my life. This is Don living each day, every day, every day. And as God's Word is kind of put together with my life, there is an intersection right outside of my little suit coat that is an opportunity for me to make a decision. I can do it that way too. An opportunity for me to make a decision. An opportunity for God's Word to intersect with my life in order to see some life application made that reveals my obedience to God's Word or my lack of obedience to His Word and maybe my own selfish desires. So as we look at these points of application, it's important for us to see that all of us come to these places where we study God's Word and we live our lives, and we need to see our lives through the matrix of His Word, because we come to places where we have the opportunity to be faithful to Him or to live our own lives. And may I also say, in addition to this, we must affirm that if God desires certain things for us, if He has promised in His Word characteristics and values and traits that we can experience, that we have a real enemy who desires for us to not experience what's God's best for us as well. And in our world today, there's a real enemy who would want to distract us and would want to get us off track from the point that we would not enjoy what God has for us in His Word, but would live kind of defeated lives as well. And we'll see some of that as we look at these steps. So first step of application this morning that we see in the life of the disciples and we can find in our lives, that Easter can make, or Easter makes a difference in endurance and in perseverance. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 40. After a Gamaliel speech, it persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them beaten, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So we see that even though the apostles are persecuted, they're arrested, they're beaten, their endurance, their perseverance, and their devotion to Jesus Christ was never waned as a result of what man or the temple guards were doing to them. They were faithful to the task of Christ no matter what situations they might find or what opposition they may find in the world. And we see that they were men of great endurance. I think of the hymn that we sing on occasion, the hymn, "Because He Lives." And I think most of us know that hymn, "Because He Lives." And the hymn writer says these words that I think summarizes the thoughts of the apostles and disciples well at this point. The hymn says this: "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives." And I think we get that. These disciples knew and saw and experienced the fact that Jesus is alive. And because He is alive, they were faithful to Him to whatever ends that they might experience. And they knew and experienced that life was worth the living because He lived and had great endurance. You know, believers, this morning, God's Word tells us in 2 Timothy and other places that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And the fact remains that from time to time we will experience storms, we will experience difficulties, we will experience hardships in our lives. But know, as the power of the resurrected Lord is alive today and lives within us, He will never leave us nor forsake us, and He will be with us through every storm that we face, and we can have the perseverance of Christ living within us and experience the victory that He has. You know, Romans, Paul writes this in Romans 8, that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword, and the list goes on. And Paul says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And nothing, I'll paraphrase a little bit, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of the resurrection, because that Christ is living, He gives us power to endure and persevere today and into the future. The second point is that Easter makes a difference in my enthusiasm. In my enthusiasm. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, we find this. That the apostles left the temple leaders, the Sanhedrin, and they rejoiced because they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. We see within the disciples that they had a godly enthusiasm. And if we take a minute to think about that word, enthusiasm, it's a Greek word, but it's a very Christian word. If I could break that word down, enthusiasm, the E-N, that preposition, means within me, that there's something within me. And if we broke it down in the Greek, in that word theos, we know that means God. And enthusiasm literally means that God is living in me. It's a word of inspiration through God's power. And we see that these men, these apostles, were inspired of God. They were enthusiastic for sharing and living for God and being obedient to Him. You know, I think about following Easter, that there are several reasons why we are enthusiastic. First of all, that Christ died on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God toward sin. That Jesus died on the cross so that I would be forgiven from sin. That the resurrection proves that God is satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. The resurrection testifies that Christ, He's victorious over sin, over death, and over hell. And we know that as believers, that in Christ and through the resurrection, that we identify with Him and His life and His death and His resurrection. And we know that those gifts will be given to us and are given to us as well. We also know that through the resurrection, we see peace is provided to the believer. That you and I, through this resurrection, we have peace with God as we confess our sin to Him and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. Not only do we have peace with God, that we can have peace within myself, knowing that I am forgiven, knowing that God has a plan and purpose for me, that my life matters and counts, and I can have peace knowing that God has a plan for me, and I can be obedient to His plan and find the joy that He has for me. And thirdly, we can have peace with others. If Christ is in me and Christ is in you, there is no dilemma or conflict or no problem that you and I could not work out if we put Christ in the middle of that relationship. And that we both come to that place where we say, hey, we want what's God's plan for our lives and God's plan for this situation. And as we put Him in the middle of our relationships, we find that there is harmony between Christians. There's harmony within the body of Christ. And really, church, you know, why is our enthusiasm important? And when I use the word enthusiasm, I don't mean you have to be a type A personality who's the most outgoing person. But if Christ is living within us, there is a winsomeness to our lives that others should be able to see that Christ has transformed us. And I bring this point up this morning because we live in a world that desperately needs enthusiastic Christians to go out into the communities and be a part of what we're doing. On Tuesday of this last week, 2 days after Easter, I was in a meeting and received a phone call. And in fact, when I received the phone call, it was from the police department, and I didn't answer it. They called me on my cell phone. I was going to try to wait and respond later. But they called me at home, and then they called the church. So I knew I had to to respond to this. And there was a suicide in Spring House Estates. Some of you know where that's at. And the officials at the police department said, Don, we need you to go to this address, Spring House Estates. There's been a suicide, and we need you to go and share with the family and be available for whatever the situation may call. So I went there, and it was a 48-year-old man. We'll call him David. And David had recently experienced a divorce last fall and was in some financial trouble, but not major financial trouble. He just kind of felt like he was at the end of his rope. He certainly was struggling with some depression, but yet there was light and opportunity all around him. His mother was there, and his mother found him that morning, and in an image I'll never forget, his mother actually had the blood of her son on her hands. She had nothing to do with it, but in her just extreme grief, you know, hugged him even in the midst of that situation. So as I'm talking to the mother, I asked her. I said, "Ma'am, are you a Christian? Do you go to church anywhere?" And she said, "Well, I am a Christian. I have God in my heart, but I do not go anywhere. I do not go to church. It's just something personal and private." And of course, those words make things much more difficult. Church family, our church family is awesome. To have a group of support of people that care about us and love us through thick and thin, it beats nothing else the world can offer. But it was a tough situation. And I began to ask the lady, I said, "Well, when's the last time you saw your son?" She said, "Well, we were with him on Easter 2 days before, and we just had kind of a family event, and we knew he was sort of down and out." And I tell you, I did not know David, and this really breaks my heart, but how I wish he could have been here last Sunday morning, that he could have heard and experienced the grace of God through the music that we shared, the power of the cross, that he could have heard the message that Brother Tony shared on the resurrection. And I truly believe that God would have spoken to his heart if he would have been here last Sunday and changed him to understand that there was no peace of desperation in our lives so dark that the light of Christ couldn't invade and change his situation. And when I think about our enthusiasm, it's important for us to go from this place and to be ambassadors for Christ where we are. And like I said, you don't have to necessarily, you know, be on the street corner with your Bible preaching. But when we share and when we're friendly and when we are kind and when we take advantage of the opportunities that Christ has given us to be witnesses in our world, we are really demonstrating godly enthusiasm into our community. And, you know, people ask me from time to time, "Well, why in the world do you do that chaplain thing? It just seems like it would be such a downer." And the reason I do the chaplain thing, honestly, from time to time, it keeps me sensitive to the needs of our community. Because quite honestly, church, it's easy for me to come to church and be surrounded by just Christian people, and I kind of forget about the darkness that lives in our community. And I pray that all of us would value the friendships and love that we have in the church, but be mindful of the darkness that's outside of the church, and that the power of the resurrection gives us enthusiasm, but the power of the resurrection also has the power to change the hearts and lives of people in our community that are living in dark, dark spots. And may God just give us a broken heart to be ready, to be sensitive, to look, and to say, or give a friendly greeting even some places that we go, but just to be ready to be enthusiastic for Him, because we live in a situation in our world today that desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel, that desperately needs to see the light of Christ, because darkness just, you know, permeates in our community and in our world. So the power of the resurrection, point two, it can make a difference in my enthusiasm as I allow Christ to live in and through me. Third point. Easter can make a difference in my evangelism. Listen to Acts 5:42. It's written that day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they, the apostles, never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And in our church, we are very good about proclaiming the good news of Jesus. You hear an invitation, a salvation message almost every Sunday or every time you walk in this church. And we are being faithful to what we see in Scripture. But the apostles also went out into the community from house to house. They went out individually. They were equipped in the church, but they went out and they were witnesses in the communities that they lived as well. In John 20, verse 21, we read that earlier this morning, when Jesus said to the apostles in that room, "My peace I leave with you, but as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And here we see that the apostles were being commissioned to go out and to serve and to share, and we are too. And what that looks like in my life, in terms of having a spirit of evangelism, it's like this. It's like, you know, first of all, I would affirm that God rules, that He is the creator of everything that I see, that God rules, the earth is in the fullness of His, He rules totally. Secondly, I have sinned, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And my sin is a problem. My sin separates me from a holy and awesome God. And there's this period of separation between us because of my sin. Thirdly, God provides. That God provided through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gives to us eternal life through His death on the cross, through His shed blood for us, that He became my substitute on the cross in paying my sin. And fifthly would be that we respond. I respond. I have the opportunity every day to respond to Jesus, to live for Him, but we have the opportunity to respond to His message of salvation. So we are given a opportunity through the resurrection to be evangelists for Him, and we see the disciples being faithful to that end. Fourth and final point this morning of application, step of application would be that Easter makes a difference in our eternity. In our eternity. Acts chapter 5:42, we read it day after day in the temple courts. And from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now earlier, there was one verse that I left out as we were talking about Acts chapter 4. And this is important for us as we think about the decisions we have for our eternity. That Peter said this in this message before those that had gathered to hear the testimony of this guy that had been healed. He said this, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In church, we hear this quite a bit, and it's spot on, that all of us are eternal. God has created us eternal. And because of the choices that we make, or in light of the choices that we make, our eternal destiny can be determined. First of all, I know that at birth that I am fallen, that I have a sin nature, and that is my default position. And if I continue in that default position, never trusting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that my destiny today, and eternal destiny, would be separation from a loving and beautiful and a holy and awesome God. But thank the Lord that through Christ and Christ alone, that we can experience salvation, that we can experience what God has given us through eternity to live with Him forever. And we see that clearly in His Word. You know, I think about the hymn kind of wrapping up this morning as we think about the experience of eternity, the hymn, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." In this, we find these words, that love's redeeming work is done. I fought the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids Him rise, and Christ hath opened paradise. And today, because of the resurrection, you and I have the opportunity to experience abundance on earth and also the glorious riches of eternity with Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning.